I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Lori Paras. She is founder and director of the Santa Fe Raptor Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for having me.
So raptors, birds, what are they? Birds of prey?
Birds that catch, I call it fast food. It's running, it's on the ground, and they're after it. Or it's flying. Some of them catch birds. We have birds that eat birds, so to speak.
And New Mexico is full of them.
Yes, they migrate through. Some come in the summer and then leave in the winter, and then we have some that stay year-round.
What are the ones that stay year-round?
Red-tailed hawk, barn owl, great horned owl, the Harris hawk, which is a southern bird. They're down in the southern part of the state. They stay year-round.
And these are birds if we have the eyes to see, we might just see in the course of taking a walk.
Yes, and the little screech owl, I have six of those little babies. They are cavity nesters, and if you were in a golf course and you looked hard enough at a cottonwood tree, you might think that's the stump, but if you look harder, you might actually realize it's an owl. They're very good camouflage birds.
Why a golf course?
I've seen them on golf courses. They're cavity nesters, and so if there's a lot of cottonwoods, they'll be there.
So you rehab these birds. People bring you birds. You work with agencies that find birds. What is happening to them where they end up at your center?
Lately, the winds have been an issue because they're so strong. They're stronger than, I guess we could say, normal, whatever normal wind is. So they'll blow birds out of nests, and people can't either get to the nest or they can't even find it. I've got some birds from construction sites where they cut down trees and then found the little birds in it. Barn owls are notorious for being found on hay when they take it out in the field, and then they're sitting there looking at the farmer. Buildings, disturbances by people getting too close to nests, those kinds of things are what bring birds to us.
And what kind of injuries do they have?
Luckily, the majority of the babies I get do not have injuries. They've just been orphaned by the things I had mentioned before. I do have some birds with broken wings, broken feet. Legs, I'm sorry. Sometimes they get shot. I don't know why people shoot birds, but they do. Sometimes they hit their first flight out, they'll hit something. A lot of hit by car injuries. That's unfortunately very common. So those kinds of things.
So the babies you're raising without their parents, and the injured ones you're rehabbing.
Yes.
And do they all, you've got a lot of birds.
I've got 15 great horned owls in one cage.
Oh,
it's 50
goodness.
Feet high, 12 feet tall, way above my head, and 12 feet wide. And great horned owls just do well together. For some reason, they just are okay. They all line up together. They don't hurt each other. They'll pick. You'll hear them squabble at night over food, but there's no injuries.
Do other raptors not do so well together?
Red tails do well together. Swainson's hawks do well together. But great horned owls, which I've gotten in numerous amounts the last couple of years, somehow just seem to really be okay crowded in together. They can fly. They have room. They're not stuck, but they will choose to sit up on a perch 15 lined up. It's great sight.
It must be. I know it's a tremendous amount of work for you.
Yes.
You're a one-person operation.
Well, we have volunteers that come every week and help me,
yeah,
which is a wonderful thing, because if we didn't, I'd be laying on the floor instead of talking to you.
But still, you're responsible for taking care of a really large number of birds. And for some reason, there's more this summer.
I keep getting them. And by August, you usually don't. I keep getting them.
What's going on?
And I'm not sure I know. I take this deep breath and go, okay, we got these birds all trained to go out. And then I get a phone call. Two more are coming. Three more are coming. One more is coming. And he's starving. And so something happens for me, which I'm incredibly grateful that it's still there. My heart just seems to open wider. And it's like, okay, I can do this. I got to get these guys out. And right now we have six or seven. Dr. Kathleen Ramsey has some of the birds in cages at her place because I don't have the room. And we have six. She has the Swainson's hawks. The Swainson's hawks have to migrate to Argentina. And I have until September 15th to get those bodies out. And I got one, and now he's great, but he was hungry, and I'm getting another one this weekend that is starving. So
oh,
you have to feed
goodness.
Them up, get their muscle built, and we have large flight cages, and that is a wonderful thing. And we have foster parents. That is another thing that has been very successful for us, is to have a foster parent for every baby species pretty much that we get.
Now, do you develop relationships with some of these birds?
On some levels, they get used to me. They see me, but they're very wild. I gave a great horned owl to another organization because they needed it, and they reported back. They're like, oh, my God, that bird is so wild. And I said, we keep them wild because I want them out. You know, you want them to go out and not be close to people.
Yeah, because if they get close to people, they could get dependent, and then they're not as well adapted
or
to live.
Or even scare somebody by hanging out on their back porch, and you're, you know, and people think, well, it's a rabid. They don't get rabies, but, you know, people don't know that. So then they would shoot it. So, yeah.
So you're not a veterinarian.
No, I am not.
But you've had to learn. Yeah. How did you learn that?
I am very blessed that Dr. Kathleen Ramsey, who runs Cottonwood Vet and started the Wildlife Center, she's not permanently with them now, was my trainer. And she's still my teacher. And she has done an amazing amount for animals in the state of New Mexico, probably more than anyone. She just continues to go and go and do surgeries. And, you know, and I can call her up and say, this is what I see and I don't know what it is. And she'll say, bring the bird in or we'll work it out over the phone. So I am very blessed to have her as a teacher.
So what is the actual work of rehabbing a bird like? Like, give us an example. Walk us through your day.
Okay. I got an owl this last week that was hit by the poor man that hit him, brought him in, and he put him in the back of his truck. And there was antifreeze in the back of the truck. So he got it on his feet, not his wings, which is not good. But he also had an eye injury. It's a great horned owl. They have big eyes, and if they get hit, usually their eye is, you know, unfortunately a part of that. So got the bird, rinsed all the antifreeze off of it, dried it because you don't want it to get cold. It's in shock. Rinsed the eye out with sodium chloride, you know, and then put a triple antibiotic ointment in it. And then the vet will see the bird when the swelling goes down and you feed it. Sometimes you hand feed it. Sometimes when they've been hit by a car, their mind forgets how to eat or turns off the desire to be hungry. It's very interesting things that can happen. And you give it steroids if you have to because you have swelling in the head and you can lose the bird by the swelling in the head.
How do you know in a case like that or in any case whether the bird is going to recover enough to be able to go in the wild and survive?
Sometimes you don't. And sometimes I've done this for 14 years. There's certain mile markers along the way that give you a sign that, you know, this is happening. And then you can go along and it can be great and all of a sudden the bird stops eating and you're like, oh, man. You know, now I got to go back to that drawing board and figure things out again. It's there's no roof on this business as far as learning, which I love. And you got to be so creative. You have to find ways to do things because, you know, you can be out there by yourself and no one's around. You can't get this. I had a pelican last year. I couldn't get that bird to eat. I loved that bird. Her name was Queen Bee because that's what she was. And I had a knockdown, drag out complaint fight with her, and she threw the fish all over the place. You have to stuff them, and they hate it, and I understand that. So I just sat with her, and I said, I have to get you to eat. You have to eat, or I have to stuff this down your throat, and I hate doing it as much as you hate it. And when I was talking to her, I was in tears, and she reached her beak down and very gently touched a piece of fish that had fallen, and that told me something. That she was hearing me. She was standing by me. There's a 50-foot cage, and she's standing close to me. So I ran in and grabbed a whole fish and shook it and said, Queen Bee, eat this. And she opened her beak and let me throw it in. And from then on, I had a little kiddie pool in there. I could throw the fish in there, and she would get them herself. And that was a huge thing. But that happened. That somehow that communication worked, and she understood, and it was just an amazing thing. That still amazes me.
Somebody's got to make a documentary about you.
Well, thank you. It was one of those lucky days, you know, where somehow I'm crying to a pelican in a cage.
And
like
it's hearing you.
Yes. When she nibbled that little piece of fish, something said to me, she's paying attention.
Yeah.
She really wants to get what you have to say.
Now, what do the various raptors that you have at the Raptor Center, what do they eat?
Rats, mice, quail, and right now I have a wonderful thing happening. There's a couple of people in the neighborhood that are catching with the Havahart traps, catching pack rats that are coming into their homes. And so they're giving them to me. And
that's a win-win.
It is. The owls are hunting them. And that is so different than a domestic rat. A domestic rat sort of trots along, you know, doo-doo-doo. Not a wild one. They jump out of the cage like in a karate sight motion and just take off. And so the owls have to be really good to catch those. And they'll bite the owl's feet. I mean, they're very tough. It needs to happen because when they go out, that's what they're going to get.
Yeah, I mean,
so I've got a couple of big females that came in as babies that could not fly. Now they fly, and they're good. They're right on those rats.
We're so domesticated ourselves that we have to kind of like really learn to understand what the wild is, what wildlife is, and what the cycle of prey and predator is like.
Yes, and it's I mean, of course, there's lots more rats than there are birds. You know, it's that whole keeping everything in balance type thing that they do.
Exactly. So the Santa Fe Raptor Center, you've been around for quite a while.
10 years.
This year
is our 10 years, yes.
Amazing.
I know, I'm shocked. It's like, where did the time go?
What can the public do for you? Are you looking for
right
volunteers?
Right now, we have some wonderful volunteers. We have some new volunteers. And what I will do in the spring, again, is hold a bird handling class for people that want to learn to handle educational birds. But right now, we've gotten quite a few people, and it's been really wonderful. And we're still, that's an ongoing teaching thing for new people. And they're also, our goal or our requirement is if you come to learn to handle a bird, you have to do another job too, because there's just so much to do, you know. And everybody wants to handle the birds, and I get that. But, you know, you have to put on several hats for a nonprofit. And I think that's true for probably any nonprofit to keep it up and running. So we do need donations because we're feeding an astronomical amount. The Swainson's hawks, which I'm getting another one, something in their body tells them they have to migrate to Argentina, and they eat like crazy. It's an amazing thing. And I have a friend who, with Hawks Aloft, who had one that was an educational bird that was never going to be released. And she said every year at this time, it started eating more because its body knew, like its body was just geared towards, I've got to migrate, even though it was not migrating.
So it goes from Argentina to New Mexico and back.
Mm-hmm. They do their summers here and their winters there.
Amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, they're funny. I love Swainson's hawks. It's a little hawk. They're a little bit smaller than a red tail. They're so vicious because they have to be, I think, to make that flight. You can't be a wimp to make that flight.
Do we know what they do along the way? I mean, do they have places where they stop and eat?
They probably have places where they stop and eat. They are grass. They will eat grasshoppers also. And there's a man, a farmer in Moriarty, and his name escapes me at the moment, but he brought me one last year, and he said they ride his sprinkler system and catch his gophers, and he loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I love those birds. I love having them. And anybody from that area who's brought me a bird was so happy to have them because between the grasshoppers, you know, whether it was a barn owl or what it was, they eat their, you know, they keep the rodents and stuff down around their farms.
Yeah, again, I mean, getting to know the cycle of nature and understanding these wildlife creatures in relation to each other, not just individually.
Right. And what they do for people, you know, in areas.
So you are looking for donations, not just of live rodents, but of funding.
Live rodents and funding, yes.
And if people want to get in touch with you, they can go online to the SantaFeRaptorCenter.org. They can also call 699-0455.
That is correct.
And do you ever do like an open house where people visit?
We have, and this year I don't think we put that on the menu because part of it is just planning and there's so much going on. I have so many birds to get out. I have, you know, the 14 great horned owls. I have 5 screech owls. I will have 11 kestrels as of this weekend, 5 barn owls, 6 or 7 or 8. I have to recount Swainson's hawks.
You got a lot of
red tail, 4 Cooper's hawks, and osprey. It's like, I'm trying to, you know, after that, it just sort of goes blank, and I can't remember what we have.
And you've got so many different kinds. I mean, you've got a cage for this kind and a flight cage for that kind, but some of them must have to live in kind of interspecies dormitories.
No, you can put the red-tailed hawk and the Swainson's hawk together. For some reason, they're enough alike. Everybody else really needs to be with their own species. Now, turkey vultures, I do not have any this year. You can put them with hawks. There's a couple of things you can mix a little bit, but not
so
too much.
Basically, you have to have a lot of different enclosures.
I have what I call the bird pueblos, because the cages are up. We use one wall of another to make, you know, to make a cage, yeah.
Amazing. Well, Lori Paras is founder and director of the Santa Fe Raptor Center, once again on the web at theraptorcenter.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, thank you. Send those donations, people. Feed those birds. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.